Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Here in Ireland for over 40 years, that's four decades of trust, reliability and expertise. Visit zurich.ie.
Tweet at Drive Time RTE.
Now, as we've been speaking about throughout this evening's programme, the suspect in the killing of Charlie Kirk has been named as 22-year-old Tyler Robinson from Utah. Utah Governor Spencer Cox says a family member of Robinson reached out to a family friend who then contacted a sheriff with information linking Robinson with the incident. Now, Cliona Raleigh is Professor of Political Geography and Conflict at the University of Sussex. She's also the Executive Director of the Armed Conflict Location and Event Data Project, or ACLED, and an expert in political violence worldwide. And Professor Cliona Raleigh joins me now. You're very welcome, Professor Raleigh, to the programme.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
And I'm keen to hear your expert view on what's just happened in Utah. But would you mind just giving us a very brief background on your work? Because you founded ACLED, if that's what you say, in 2005 as part of your PhD. And it's now an independent NGO, I believe, with 200 staff collecting information on political violence worldwide.
Yes, that's right. So what we try to do is to make sure that real-time information about all reported acts of political violence and all demonstrations are available to the public and also, of course, to governments and anybody who needs them to understand the patterns of conflict throughout the world.
Throughout the world, worldwide, all political violence.
Yeah.
Wow. And you've been analysing two parts of the world that are worrying, you say, in terms of political violence.
Yes, of course. I mean, I would say that what's going on in the US at the moment is particularly important because not necessarily due to the amount of violence going on in the US, but because it has such enormous ramifications, I think, for what's happening within other democracies mm-hmm. in the West. But if we were to talk about the countries that are most violent at the moment, of course, there is the ongoing conflict in Gaza. Mexico is incredibly violent. Myanmar and Sudan typically are, and of course, Ukraine are the most violent places.
Mm-hmm. What's extremely worrying, because I know you follow just the evidence, not perception or social media trends or commentary. You follow evidence. So what do you think is particularly worrying about the US situation?
Well, the US has three forms of disorder, and they vary in terms of the amount of violence they create. So they have an incredibly active protest scene. In fact, it's one of the most active in the entire world. They have about 50 protests a day, at least in the States. And while they're largely peaceful, there's a handful every month that are violent. And so we can set that aside at the moment because although it's double what it was last year, it's nowhere near compared to what it was in 2020. And then in the US, you have a growing and a very kind of healthy ecosystem where there are extremist militias. They're often right affiliated. So you might have white nationalist militias or prepper groups or even anti-Semitic militias. And they are prolific, but they're often very localized, right? And what I think is particularly important is that those groups, which were very active, of course, in 2020, and that culminated in what they did in January 6, 2021, they really have been largely quiet, very performative in the last 4 years, in fact, throughout the Biden administration. And they continue to be quiet, even during the first year of the Trump administration. But the U.S. is unique in that it has most of its violence, most of its unpredictable, very bloody violence, committed by lone wolves. And these are often young men who are committing murder, mass murder or assassinations like Mr. Kirk's. And they don't affiliate with a particular political party or even an extreme political view where these militias have formed, but they are armed and extremely dangerous.
Really? And you said the lone wolf phenomenon or the lone wolf experience in terms of political violence is unique to the US.
It is, yeah. Because when you think about it, there's the polarization that the US is experiencing is is quite profound. But it's no more than the polarization in France or in Britain or in some other, you know, Western states as they go through this period. Mm-hmm. But the difference in the States is that the proliferation of weapons and the ease at which people who are disturbed can access those weapons means that people within the public sphere or people within public spaces like schools or concerts are likely to be victim to these types of to this type of violence, even when other people are not, even in a polarized society.
So that's very interesting. You say that there's discontent everywhere. We know that, isn't there? Mm-hmm. And there's raucous protest. You know, it happens periodically everywhere. But we have. You're saying it's the lone wolf phenomenon is unique to the US because of access to firearms. But why aren't we experiencing the same regularity of lone wolf attacks, if I can put it that way, mm-hmm. in other jurisdictions? Because there is access to other firearms, like knives or other instruments, maybe not firearms, but yeah, other weapons, I should say. So why isn't it happening with the same regularity in other jurisdictions?
So I should say that violence across the world has increased, and political violence across the world, in fact, doubled between 2021 and 2025 in the number of incidents, right? So we have seen a drastic increase in general conflict. We've also seen that local administrators, so this is kind of, you know, local level representatives, have seen an increase in conflict or in risk just for performing their jobs. That has also been going up in the last 5 years. In fact, we recently did a study that found that France and Italy have some of the highest rates of threats and attacks on their local administrators. So that in and of itself is not unique. What's unique in the States, of course, is the fatalities mm-hmm. that are associated with it.
Okay, and that's down to firearms, I suppose, guns, but basically very often in the aftermath of the Charlie Kirk murder, and it's still really, really recent. Mm-hmm. And I do think, I must say, of his family who are experiencing extreme grief and trauma at this point. But even now in the US, you have even the president, Donald Trump, saying we are led here, and I'm paraphrasing, because of far left voices who have driven us to this point. But you mention extreme right or right wing militias.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but I do want to make a distinction here, which is that while militias are certainly kind of right-coded, right, there are far more right-leaning militias than there are left-leaning militias. There's no question about that. That even those groups have a lot of competition for the space or the political space that they're filling, right? So they're not necessarily directly associated with the Republican Party or the Democratic Party. But these lone wolves, they often have political agendas that are incredibly bizarre and personalized. They don't at all map onto even the somewhat coherent objectives of even a white nationalist militia. So these lone wolves are not coming from those militias. But what I also want to emphasize is that the political violence in the States is not strongly partisan, right? It's not being driven by somebody disagreeing with a political position of the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. What it is that issues get inflated, and of course, again, people with the opportunity to make fatal violence will do so under extreme conditions. But what I worry about in the Charlie Kirk scenario, which is a little bit similar to the Donald Trump assassination attempts, is that they are looking for opportunities to build up their base and to recruit and to become a much bigger player on the scene. So these already organized groups are seeking opportunities for that. They haven't had them, in part because of the crackdown on these types of militias post January 6th. Mm-hmm. And these opportunities provide those. So if this Tyler Robinson was associated with, for example, an organized political group, especially on the far left, I would expect that there will be an awful reckoning, to be honest, to that particular political belief.
My goodness, let's hope you're not right. But thank you, I must say, for sharing your considerable expertise in all of this. Professor Cliona O'Reilly of the University of Sussex and an expert in political violence worldwide.